From UCB Comedy Studios, this is the UCB Digital Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of this show. I'm your host, Nate Russell. We've got a great episode for you today. We're always peeling back that curtain on comedians and filmmakers to talk to them about their craft, and you're not going to want to miss this one. It's an in-depth conversation with Anna Drezin, who, if you don't know her, you should. She's a writer and a stand-up and actor. Right now, she's a writer for season 42 of Saturday Night Live, and we go into that discussion as well as all the rest of her work. More on that in just a minute. This is week three of our sort of experiment in weekly podcasting. Ben Hosley's here. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Nate.
So week three keeps on rolling.
I mean, I think at this point, we're weekly, baby.
I guess so. I guess I have to stop saying it. At a certain point, the novelty of it wears off, but it still feels new to me, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just like we're going to be consistent moving forward and, you know, we're going to be putting out as much weekly content as we can.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody who's subscribed and given us a rating and review on iTunes so far. Nick gave us a particularly good review back in February, and I just wanted to read it. He said, "I appreciate this show for modeling a class. The interviewees have solid careers, but are still accessible enough to have valuable lessons for beginners, too." Thanks, Nick. That's awesome. That's exactly where we want to be in that space. And as we roll into today's episode, let me tell you, that's the perfect way to describe today's episode, because that's Anna in a nutshell. She's got lots of great advice for beginning writers, people just starting out, but also for people who are further along in their career, because she is so accomplished at this point. As I mentioned, right now she's a writer, and we caught her on a hiatus of season 42 of Saturday Night Live. She's also been a writer and editor, and now editor at large, which is a great name, a great title, for Reductress, of course, the fantastic satirical women's magazine. But as we talked about in this episode, it's not just for women, Ben. It's not just for women. Everybody can read Reductress.
I've read Reductress many times.
It's fantastic.
Such a like awesome, funny, progressive comedy site.
It's great. Really great. And Anna's been a big part of the growth of Reductress. She hosts their Mouth Time podcast, which is also a great show. Love that show. And recently she was named one of Brooklyn's 50 funniest people. That's a hell of an accomplishment, too. So let's jump into our conversation with her. As always, we are also continuing our partnership with the Bronx Brewery. On today's episode, we did not drink a beer. Anna is not a drinker, but we actually picked out the can of Bronx's. All their can designs are pretty cool, but their Slow Your Roll Session India Pale Ale has a particularly cool can. I like this design. Ben, you've had this one by now, right, Ben?
I have. I love Indian Pale Ales.
Yeah.
And this is that style, but they refer to it as an American Pale Ale. And I guess, I don't know, I feel like I've even mentioned this in the past because I do really love this beer.
Yeah.
They're sort of like taking that style of brewing, but very much like assigning or subscribing an American identity to it, because it's very much a different kind of recipe, a different flavor.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
It's great. And the can is great, too. So whether you're in it for the taste or you're in it for the aesthetics, it's got something for everybody. So we admired that can during this episode, and I drank one afterwards. As always, you can go to thebronxbrewery.com for more information on all their craft beer selections and to see this can. And hey, make your next pint of Bronx while you're out there, y'all. Let's jump right into it. Our conversation with Anna Drezin. And we started with a quote from Anna's past. I'm going to read you a quote.
Oh, okay.
This is a quote. It says, "It's sort of like saying you want to be a princess when you grow up. I don't think I'd aim for it, but I wouldn't say no to it. Being a princess seems pretty sweet." That's your quote, Anna, before you got the job. So I got to ask, is working there like being a princess?
It is. I'm forced to give birth on a schedule, and I die soon.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I like forgot about that's from, I think, Grantland interviewed.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought that was so funny.
It was like, these nobody comedy schmucks. Like, well, let's ask the millennials what they think about SNL,
yeah.
Life from New York, Gilda Radner, baby. Let's see what they think. And we're all like, I would work there. And I was so afraid that I was like, oh, fuck, what did I say in that thing?
That's so funny.
If it was like, no, it's old, it sucks, right. Saturday Night Dead. Like, that's all it said was Saturday. It was just like a Time magazine cover that said,
right.
Was my quote. Yeah, no, it's nuts.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You, I mean, you seem like you've been busting your ass for a while, so like this
I've
is
I've been
sort of
busting
like,
it. Just
a continuation
busting.
Of that lifestyle, huh?
People are like, ma'am, do not bust your ass. And I'm like, I can't not.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm like not a person who gets things, so it's been a real adjustment.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, it must be nice to sort of like, you know, you do this sort of comedy grind for a while, and it's like you don't know necessarily where your next thing's going to come from. It must be nice to sort of be able to be like, well, I can commit to something for, you know, a contracted amount of time. And sort of like,
it's so great. It's so nice to not have to do every single tiny show.
That comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's rad. Well, it's congratulations.
It's pretty rad. Thank you.
How many hours a week do you feel like you're working?
It depends on whether or not you have a sketch that you wrote on in the show.
Yeah.
Or if you're assigned to like help on it. Uh-huh. But I don't know. I'm not good at math. I'm not good at like tracking like what's going on with my body. Like some people are like, I can have cooked almonds, but only if you peel them.
Sure.
And I'm just like, I just have diarrhea all the time. Like, I don't know anything about my life. I don't keep track. I'm like a beautiful cipher. But I don't know. It could be anywhere between like 40 to 70, depending.
Yeah. Depending on the week.
Yeah.
Is it as hard as you thought it was going to be? Or did it match your expectations?
I think I just like didn't. It didn't occur to me that I could get that job, like it seemed so many years away.
Yeah.
So I don't think I even like fomented a like image of what it would be like in my head.
Sure.
Yeah, I know my friend Sudie Green had worked there last year and I know it was really hard for her. But it was also like I worked for the internet for a long time.
Yeah.
Like there's so much bullshit you have to do and like, I don't know, like working a day job and working other weird jobs and freelancing and doing shows, like that's hard too. So it's like anytime I'm not in my bed naked watching Netflix is hard for me. So like it's really just degrees.
Okay. Sure, if that's the scale that you start from, then sure. It sounds really difficult.
I mean, that is my 0 to 10. Mm-hmm. And then anything past that is unacceptable. Okay. But it's also, it's weird because it's hard, but it's also like the joy of being able to be there and like do a job that I love balances that out.
Yeah.
Not always.
Are you the kind of like, are you the kind of person who is hard? Like, do you feel like I'm sorry, way to ask this. Are you hard on yourself?
Yeah, but like about the wrong things and at the wrong time.
Yeah.
I'll like overthink something that I did or like said to someone, like a way I phrased something for years, but then like I've never written a pilot. So
sure.
Like Sudie is hard on herself in the sense that like she always does exactly the best and hardest and right work.
Yeah.
And funniest.
Yeah.
And most thorough, no matter how tired she is. But I'm hard on myself, like not about that, and I wish I were.
Okay.
Let's talk about Sudie.
Let's
psychoanalyze my friend.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just wondering because like, you know, I definitely feel like in a different way, like now, like I've got two kids now.
That's right. That's so many.
It's two. Mm-hmm. Two is a lot. Like two is a lot.
That's a book title right there. Two is
two,
a lot.
Yeah. But I feel like I'm constantly not like always letting somebody down is how I feel.
Oh, yeah. I totally get that. Yeah. I'm hard on myself. Yeah. Like I have a hard time watching sketches that I've written.
Yeah.
After the fact, like I'll watch it on the floor and be like overcome with joy. But like I can't watch it after because I'm like, fuck, I should have put that back in or I should have cut that or like this should have been that.
Yeah.
Like to the point that I can't watch videos of my stand up or anything like that. Like, the fact that it's on tape somewhere seems unfair because, like, I want to keep working on it.
Yeah.
But I'm also someone who'll be like, fuck it, it's done. Like,
yeah. And that must also be some of the internet training to be like, fuck it, it's done. Because
I guess so.
You do that stuff, you're churning out a lot, right? And so it's kind of like you have to let it
go. I was never as prolific as I should have been. I think I got by on being like clever and interesting about certain things, but I was never someone who could like write three things a day. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, like, I'm more like, I'll be cocky about like, I have a fucking genius idea and I'm not going to do another pass on this sketch because it's perfect. Like, but then like, if it does go to air, then I'm just like sitting there like, fuck, fuck, fuck. I should have changed that.
Right.
Like I really love joke alts, like pitching on different things. Like okay. I love the, it's basically a bunch of tag outs. Like
sure.
What could this part be? What could that, it could be this, it could be that. That's fun for me. But like structure stuff and, yeah, just big picture stuff I struggle with.
Yeah, I can dig that. I mean, I think that like that's how I feel about most stuff too. Is like once there's a form, once the thing has taken form, I find it so much easier to be like, I can now find 100 ways to do it.
Yeah,
you
that's
know what I mean?
Like
I love other people's ideas because I love to be able to go like, I know what that is and I know how to help.
Yeah, that was always the note I would get at UCB classes. Was like, you're a great support player. Like I'm great at tag outs. I'm great at. They would be like, you're so great at everything. In the world, but specifically tag outs.
Yeah, that's what all your grades said.
Yeah.
Said, you're so great at everything.
Oh, God.
In the world.
I haven't checked my grades. what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I think that's also like the editing stuff from Reductress, where it's like, cool, I can get a piece that's already written and know what to do with it. But then, like, writing my own stuff became daunting.
So let's talk about that because that's interesting. If you feel like what you're good at or what you're more naturally good at is the sort of like add-on stuff, how did you, because you can't do the job that you're in now and not be good at the whole thing, right?
Guess.
At like the ideation part either.
I feel like I'm out of ideas forever.
That's how it always feels.
Well, I know.
I guess
I'm
what I'm wondering is if that's a challenge, how have you addressed like getting better at that?
I guess I just sort of. It's hard. I don't know. I like, I think the right thing to do is to hang out with funny people that you don't work with.
Okay.
Cause then it's like you're stirring up the other side of your brain that you can't get at work. Cause obviously, like, hang out with people and like doing bits and, you know, shooting the breeze is where you get sketch ideas sometimes or ideas for whatever it is. A web series, perchance.
Good correct pronunciation.
Thank you.
Side.
Yeah. A lot of people they don't, like to cut corners and I fucking appreciate it.
Exactly.
Can I fucking swear on this?
It's encouraged.
Cool. That's cool. But what were we even talking about?
We're saying about getting better at like having like the process of forming a sketch as opposed to adding on to.
I guess it's like such a mystery to me. Like sometimes I would be in the middle of a standardized test and have the thought, wait, where do thoughts come from? And then I wouldn't be able to think. Like, I would not be able to take the test because I'd be like trying to figure out how brains work like while having one and while trying to use it. So I've just like hit a wall so many times at work where it's like, oh my God, I have no ideas at all. And then you just sort of like screech it out and like put it down and come back to it. And I've like gone through my Twitter and my Reductress author page and like anywhere that has any jokes, like my notes and my like joke books, like I've done the combing process of going back through being like, fuck, 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 like so many times. And then you'll have the idea and I like, it's just such a relief. And then you go with it and then you like, I should stop to make sure I know where they come from. So like, I don't know. This is sounding like very up my own ass, and I want people to know that I do think I'm incredible.
No, it's just interesting. Like the process of that is interesting. I think everybody takes that approach, you know, differently.
Yeah,
I think to speak to myself, I'm trying to get better at not judging my own first ideas. I feel like I look at every idea I have when it's your idea. Again, like I said, I can be like. That I know what to do with 100% total confidence. And I know how to be like, this is the best version of that and the best version of you.
Yeah.
But like, I'm very judgmental of my ideas being like, I've seen that joke before. I've seen that idea before. Or like, no, that's just the first dumb idea that you've had. And like trying to be like less judgmental inside of self to be like, no, you're going to do it. You're going to do it your way.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the unique part of it, even if it's not the most, like, you know, balls to the wall original idea ever.
Yeah, I love talking about this stuff because I feel like we don't often, like, we'll talk about, like, I took this class with this person and sure. I read this book with that person and that person is my wife.
I'm always reading my wife's book.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
She's got a good book.
It's called My Book. But, like, the actual where do your ideas come from? It's, like, weirdly a sort of a spiritual thing because it's, like, I have no control over that.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I think the important, because I totally judge my own ideas, too, like, right off the bat. And I think it's important to just write them out in a list and then go talk to someone who you think is funny and run them by them. Something that truly just occurred to me this year is that, like, my gut comedic instincts are not always what makes the most laughs happen.
Okay. Okay.
And, like,
that's an interesting realization.
It truly didn't occur to me that, like, my gut wasn't exactly right. Which I guess I shouldn't say out loud, but
well, what is that? What is it? So how do you
that, like, the writing process? It's like I feel like I'm doing two things where I'm trying to get as close to my gut for what will be funny. And that's a struggle in its own where it's like, what the fuck is this? It's just like coming down unformed and I'm like crafting it into whatever and like drafting and going through and like which character should be where and like how does this stage direction? How do I show that this Chiron happens here? Like that's hard enough on its own. But then it's like what will actually make an audience laugh more?
Yeah.
Because I can get like a 98% on a sketch and be like, yes. And then it dies at the table. And I'm like, oh, right. I'm not everyone. And like, I don't know. I think it's important to have both.
Sure.
I think I respect people. Like my favorite comedy people are people who can do both.
Okay. Are you still doing a lot of stand-up?
Yeah, I do it when I can get out of my bed.
Sure. So once you pass that 10 in the scale.
Just pass the 10 and then it's just sort of a red zone.
How much is that an exercise towards idea generation for writing stuff? Or how much of that is its own sort of like
play
space?
Yeah, it definitely helps. I think I'm always afraid to like turn a stand-up joke into a sketch just because it would then... I don't know, then I couldn't do it anymore.
Right.
But I wouldn't give up one of my, like, main jokes.
Right.
I guess. But also I feel like I only have two jokes, so it's hard to say. Like, fully hate myself. But yeah, I do a lot of riffing on stage. So, and riffing is just a short for impro. It's sort of like that. Like, whose line is it anyway, sort of.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, it's like that.
That show's good.
Aisha Tyler. I do a lot of riffing on stage, so that helps me figure out new stand-up bits and also, like, oh, that's an idea. Like, is it a sketch? Is it, like,
a
tweet?
So I guess I wonder, is stand-up a discrete writing space for you from stuff like sketch writing, or is there crossover?
There's definitely crossover.
Yeah.
It occurred to me that I could, like... Stand up is cool now because like you can kind of do whatever you want, and as long as you're like standing and holding a microphone on the stage by yourself, then it's like technically stand up. That like I could act out a scene that like wouldn't necessarily work for the show, but like is great for my stand up set. Like, oh, I didn't know that I could play two characters and also, you know, narrate and make sound effects. I sound like I'm Robin Williams.
That sounds great.
I know, like whatever. I'm like basically Robin Williams.
Robin Williams.
The Anna Williams story. He's my dad.
Oh.
But yeah, there for me it's like these little nuggets of things that I find funny and then trying to figure out where they go.
That's cool. Is Twitter that as well?
Twitter is that as well. Twitter
out, throwing shit away.
You gotta. Twitter, it's like my diary that I share with the world. That, you know, just things that I think or that I want to know. And you just throw it out onto the Twitter.
Sure.
And people say, hey, that's my favorite.
You know, I got to be honest. I cannot consistently get into Twitter. I'll have like a month where I'm like, I'll do this for a little while. And then I'm like, I just don't. The idea to like take the thought and like take the time to like put it in that format to me just doesn't work.
That's good, I think. I think it's like a compulsive need for approval and validation. Like, if you don't have that, I think it's okay.
All right, great. We're going deep psychoanalysis.
Yeah, we are. We are.
Let's talk about Reductress.
Okay.
Let's talk about your time there. How much did that job, do you feel like the work that you're doing there, like, led to the job now? Like, what
definitely.
Do you think it
did? Yeah, it was like the head writers were huge fans of Reductress. Yeah. And then, like, I submitted a packet.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What was the what's the creative process at Reductress? Like, how do the how does that site get ideas?
We
into
all
the
sort
world?
Of gather in a clearing,
okay,
and put all of our menses in the center,
uh-huh,
and then we just sort of vent about whatever is bothering us.
Yeah,
and it doesn't have to be funny, you know, like that'll come later. But it's like being honest, and then we go to a co-working space and. Right. I know. I think the process is still pretty much the same as when I was there, but yeah, it's like there's a pitch meeting at the beginning of the week where they go through all the pitches that contributors have sent in, and yeah, then they go through and assign from there. And then the pieces will come in and they edit them and put them online. And then they'll write some stuff in house and some various social media and email and other day-to-day sort of administrative tasks.
Yeah.
And side projects like stuff in the TV sphere, yeah, stuff in, you know, in the podcast sphere.
And what was your, and while you were there, like, what was your, like, from the beginning of your relationship at Reductress to, like, you know, you just said before we were on mic that you were sort of like a bad parent to a podcast. So it feels like, mm-hmm, your relationship is sort of like in a, you know, you're taking a little space probably, right?
Yeah, I kind of show up at a barbecue anymore and be, yeah, like, oh, you look great. Yeah. What grade are you?
Yeah, exactly. What has been the involvement process for you across that? Like,
yeah, I mean, I came on just as a writer contributor, uh-huh, in like 2013 before they had any kind of office space. They had just launched a couple months before, and it was just people meeting up to, like, mm-hmm, talk about what we thought would be a funny thing for an article.
Yeah.
And just, like, what was happening in the world, and then we would sort of write from there. And it was truly only, I, like, heard that Reductress was a thing and then got furious that I hadn't thought of it, and then my friend Josh Gondelman was like, oh, I met Beth and Sarah at a party, should I pass along your email? And I was like, okay. And they were like, do you want to pitch us? And I was like,
like, we can't hear you.
If it hadn't been, yeah. Oh, no. What? Like, my natural inclination would have been to just hate them from a mile away forever instead of, like, being involved. So I'm very lucky to have proactive friends. And then I wrote for them for a year-ish. And yeah, then they brought me on as an associate editor and, like, show producer slash host, yeah, for live shows. And then I advanced to a deputy editor, which was basically just the same job, except, like, I was basically, like, second in command to Beth and Sarah, who, yeah, are the, Beth Newell and Sarah Pappalardo are the co-founders, yeah, and co-editors of Reductress.com.
.com.
It's like The Onion, but for women.
Was it,
is how people say it, but it makes me crazy.
That's how they say it?
The Onion is also for women,
yeah,
and anyone can read Reductress, just to be clear.
Well, look, it's just translating it, you know? It's like, it's just saying, it's The Onion for women.
Yeah, it's, if it's, you bring an onion anywhere near a woman, she'll,
yeah,
burst into flames.
So, and wait, what is this? I don't understand.
I don't.
This isn't for me.
It doesn't. Women are not like onions. They don't have layers. And they can't be near an onion.
And that was the last title you had there, was deputy editor?
Yeah. And now I'm editor at large, which means they can't fucking catch me.
Yeah.
Emeritus.
Emeritus.
Emeritus,
oh,
that's
right?
Good. They should say
that. You should go for that one.
They should.
That'll be your next title.
Yeah.
Was it a J-O-B, like, in the middle there? Was it always freelance, or was it like a job, job, job?
Oh,
job,
it was a job. Yeah, I was 3 days a week and then sometimes four. But, yeah, just a lot of working really hard.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was like on a, like, going to a co-working space and working and, you know, clock in, clock out.
Yeah.
Not actually, but.
Sure. I guess what I'm wondering is, like, so it's out, because it sounds like that's quite a journey from, like, start to finish, and you definitely are at a different point by the time you come out of the other side of that job from where you started it from, right?
Yeah.
So maybe just speak to, like, how your, you know, how your voice or how your process changed through the experience of your relationship there, because it feels like it's, it must have been, it must be like you're pitching ideas for yourself, but you're also pitching inside of the voice of something as it's being developed and then as it's being like really like executed at a high level too.
Yeah.
That must be like a really instructive experience in terms of like figuring out what you like, what this place likes, and sort of like what an audience on the internet's gonna like too.
Totally. And I think like I was at an advantage because I was there involved when the site was still refining what its voice was. So yeah. I kind of had a say in it.
Yeah.
So then it was like pitching on something I'm already familiar with, but also I like me being there and saying, I think this is funny helped contribute to what we focused on, just because we only had the luxury of having like 10 people at the beginning who were like, this might be funny. And yeah, so like it helped to like in that regard. I also think a lot of change just sort of happens over the long term, and it's not something you can really be an active participant in. It's just like being patient enough to know, like, I'm not as good right now as I could be one day.
Sure.
And if I just keep showing up and doing the work, then at some point I will get better at it, so I can have the luxury of being embarrassed by the stuff I'm doing right now. I think it's just like being okay with the fact that process is a thing that takes time.
Sure.
And that's the douchiest thing I've ever said.
I know. I think that's good advice. I mean, I think people are often like,
oh, it's incredible advice.
Yeah, it's great advice.
Let's not get it wrong. Like, I'm really smart.
I mean, you're almost an editor emeritus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's
God.
The wisest of the editor.
I would love
positions.
That. I didn't know what editor at large meant for like the first month that it was my title.
Just it's sort of like, you know, isn't that like, that's how you would also describe like Sasquatch, right? Like at large.
He's an active shooter.
We know exactly where they are.
He's at large.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was the first woman to ever be at large. That's true.
They cannot find
it. It means I'm running around.
That's cool. Hey, you know, we're not drinking a Bronx beer.
We have
a can because you don't drink.
I can't.
You cannot drink.
I'm retired.
You're a retired drinker.
I'm at large.
You're at large from that too. So we said we would talk about the artwork on the can itself. So we have a Bronx Brewery beer in studio with us. It's a Slow Your Roll Session India Pale Ale, and it has a nice number 6 train going along the top of it.
That's
I picked this can out to show you because I think it's the coolest can that they
have. It's a very cool can. I like the color blue that they have.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I like that there's a lot of copy on the back of it. It's got a story to tell.
There is a full story
on this
can.
I like being told a story. I'm not even being an asshole. Like, I really do like a lot of copy.
You know, I've read that this type of, like giving you the story as part of the product is, like, trying to speak to a certain type of consumer, right? Like, that's why Whole Foods has those things in there, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And that's why Pret has, like, the weird, like, cheese with a face made out of cloves on it. And it says, like, our farmers are given education on how to invest their money. And I'm like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
I'm here for coffee and yogurt. But anyway.
Yeah, but it's definitely like, it's trying to speak to the person who's like intellectually curious about their food, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Interesting story. I'm going to read this story sometime.
Please do.
I will. Okay,
good. Bronx Brewery.
Yes.
It's relapse worthy.
Let's go back a little further. You were at NYU, right?
I was there.
How much do you use that acting degree?
Oh, my God.
All the time?
Every day.
Every single day?
Someone will try to come for me, and I'll just hold my BFA, and then they'll sort of cower and whimper in the corner. I don't know. I mean, like, I was on the improv team there, so I met a lot of the people I ended up working with after school. So that was helpful. And also, actually, I'm using my acting degree now more than ever because I went to there are a bunch of different studios at NYU for acting, like, and just like different, basically different schools within the school. And the one I went to, Playwrights Horizons Theater School, teaches you directing and design and acting and dance and singing and stage management the first year. And then the second year you can specialize. And like at the time we're all like, oh, I just want to be an actor.
Yeah.
But like it was like weirdly like an SNL training camp because like I learned stage management. It's basically in producing
sure.
stuff, which like if you have a sketch on the show, you're also producing it.
Yeah.
And like learning how a designer thinks and like what would be helpful to communicate with them. And I'm still really bad at that, but
that's interesting because that also feels like a unique application, like in terms of like a TV job of theater skills, right? There's probably yeah. there aren't that many TV jobs that require just a mindset towards
oh, yeah.
the theatrical component that SNL does have.
Oh yeah, I mean, like it does feel like a play.
Yeah.
Like every Saturday, it yeah. smells like fresh paint and cut wood and yeah. hairspray. It's literally a play. We're putting on a play. Let's do a show.
That would be a bonus, like, feature of the TV show. Like, have you ever go to any of those Smell-O-Vision things?
No.
You ever know that? Like, there's, like, what? There was, like,
no.
a thing. Like,
I know. I've heard of it.
Smell-O-Vision. And I
yeah.
think, like, Disney World had things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
be,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You'd watch it and you'd smell it, too. You know, like, 4D type stuff.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. That, like, the smell of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, my God.
Not a lot of people know what that smells like.
It would just be mostly, like, spirit gum and hairspray and
yeah.
stress and pages being burned.
Yeah, but that'd be a cool addition to the experience, I think, to be able to
I think
smell
it would.
What's going on,
and I think you're right. I think you're onto something.
Did you, like, I guess the reason why I wanted to ask about NYU was it seems like you do stand up and you do some acting, but like, it seems like your focus has transitioned towards the writing of the words, the page, shall we say.
Yeah.
Did you come to New York being like, I am an actor, and was it always comedy, or was it like, acting, but sort of like
I came
broad
to New York
ideas.
Like a full moron. Like I had no idea. Okay. I was so green. I was such a baby. I had no idea about anything. Because like in high school, I would just go to school, go to my activities, and go home.
Yeah.
Like I had two boyfriends in high school, and we only ever saw each other in school, which I didn't realize was weird until like last month. Like I was just not a person in any regard.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be a Shakespearean actor and also a vet. And like I was still like the way second graders talk about what they want to be when they grow up was
uh-huh.
like how I was
in high school.
In like college.
Oh, in college.
It took like the first monologue I did at NYU was from the movie Sleepy Hollow, and not even Christina Ricci's character. It was Miranda Richardson. Which Richardson was in it? It was like this old witch
okay.
talking. Like it's just exposition. It's not a good speech. That was in an acting class at NYU, and they were like, "Oh no, oh sweetie, no." So like I just didn't know anything and wanted to be everything, and I saw. Derek, the Derek guys,
sure.
Performed with Hammercats during Welcome Week, and I was like, "Oh, I want that! I like that."
So pretty quickly,
I do that. Yeah,
you found it quickly.
Truly, just because it was one of the many things I went to, including Rocky Horror, and like learning that sushi is a thing I could eat.
Sure.
It's like, so then I auditioned and got onto the improv team, which was such a fluke. Like I don't know. It's just weird to think about that. This insane little like hermit. Has planned my life for me. Like
yeah.
that person was so scary.
That's really
yeah.
funny.
I just didn't know anything, and now it's like I'm doing more writing because that's the thing that like has taken off more, and that's the thing that I've gotten more of a reaction from. I think there's definitely a part of me that's like I want to be an actor, and I still audition on hiatuses and stuff,
yeah.
and like I see that being a part of my summer, just because I like it. I don't know if I'm good at it or not,
yeah.
or not, but like. I do okay at certain things, and I don't know. It's hard to know if that's a thing. Because truly, I think that, like, being an actress is, like, the job of a producer's daughter and no one else. Like, that is a sacred space. Like, if your dad is not a producer, like,
yeah.
don't be a performer. I don't know what to talk to you about. And if you're a guy, just, like, keep lifting weights until someone hires you. I think that's how acting works now.
Yeah.
But, so, like, I don't know if it's stupid to still want to do that. Like, I feel a little self-conscious about, like, oh, I also want to act.
I don't think that's stupid. I mean,
I
definitely get it. Is it, do you think that, I guess the question is going forward, is that something that you want to make more of a priority of? Or if you're a writer and you're a writer and you're a writer, is that going to be fulfilling?
I've always been someone who's fulfilled by doing at least two or three different things. So I think for me, the answer is like not in finding a one thing that's going to sustain me, but like making sure I mix it up.
Yeah.
Because I get very bored very easily,
sure.
you know?
Sure.
You need a lot of variety.
I get it. What are you, you're on hiatus right now. What
I
are,
am.
So is it a, I've got to take advantage of this time kind of feeling, or is it like a fuck the world, I'm going to go just chill?
It's exactly that. It's a lot of being horizontal, lighting candles.
Yeah.
I am also writing a pilot in an audition yesterday.
But you're going, doing it laying in
and
bed.
And I'm going to BART class every day. That's true. Yeah, no, I know.
BART class?
Bar.
Oh, bar.
Oh, B-A-R-E. Right, it's right. The exercise pastime of Park Slope Trophy Wives.
Sure.
Trophy Moms, sorry. Yeah, I'm trying to really take it easy because this year has been very overwhelming in a good way, and just trying to catch up. Like, I vacuumed yesterday for the first time in, I think, months.
Yeah. Those are the little things.
Yeah. But also, like, writing a pilot and doing shows and stuff.
Yeah. And do you have any plan? Is there any plan formulating for the summer yet, or is it
No, I'm pretty
far
open.
Away?
Yeah, like meetings and different things. And,
cool.
Yeah.
And just enjoying the time.
Just enjoying the time.
Oh, man. Well, Anna, thanks for doing this.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was so great.
Yeah, appreciate it.
That'll do it for episode number 38 of the UCB Digital Podcast. Thank you so much out there for taking the time to listen. And thanks to Anna for sitting down. She was on a hiatus. She could have just been kicking back, and she decided to come in and talk to us, and we appreciate it. Hope that you got something out of that as well. So thanks to her. Check out SNL if you don't already. And check out all of Anna's work. She's on Twitter, she's on Tumblr, she's everywhere. And hey, so are we. You can follow UCB Digital Podcasts on Twitter. Feel free to connect with us at UCB Digital. We're on Facebook too. If you got any ideas for future episodes of this show, let us know. We're an open book. We're happy to talk. We love filmmaking, we love comedy, and we hope that you do too. And we'll talk to you about it until you're blue in the face. So come at us, y'all. As always, you can subscribe, rate, review on iTunes.com/UCB Comedy. We always love a great review. And as always, UCB is on social media all over the place at UCB Comedy. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Vimeo, YouTube, Snapchat, you name it. We're there. New videos all the time. Check it out. And thanks to Bronx Brewery for being the official house beer of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. Check out thebronxbrewery.com to see all their great selections of locally brewed craft beers, including the Slow Your Roll beer, which we didn't get to drink in the episode, but let me tell you, I'm going to go have one right now. And while you're out there, y'all, make your next pint of Bronx. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week for another brand new episode of this show. And as always, until then, we'll see you on the internet.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.